Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, it is a Texan Stick It Tuesday coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. You'll have a chance to win front row seat tickets to the game on Christmas Day. That's next Wednesday. You'll have a chance to win a pair of front row seat tickets to see your Texans take on the Baltimore Ravens with Beyonce checking in at the half during a performance on Christmas Day. You have a chance to win those coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay tuned and listen. Right now, let's head out to NRG to hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans.
Remember about Andy Reid from your playing days?
Yeah, from being with Andy for 1 year, just really respect the way he ran the show. He was a really great coach, did a great job of looking out for his players. Learned a lot from Andy and how he ran things. Just ton of respect for him. He's been very successful his entire career. Talk about a guy who's detailed in every single thing, not only offensive football, but defense, special teams, like all across the board. Just a really tremendous football coach who's had a ton of success, and he loves to do it with a smile. So go ahead.
What is it going to be like going up against him on Saturday?
Yeah, I've went against him before, so it'll be same. Like, we're just trying to make sure our players go out and play well. It'll be about them, not so much about me going up against him. It'll be about our players just playing well and executing.
Everyone's aware of the success they've had in Kansas City. When you're a winning team and a division champion like yourselves, and you play against a team that is the defending champs, how much does that help you guys because of the high standard they have and the standard you're trying to get to?
Yeah, for us, we're excited to go and compete against a really good football team. It's been good for a really long time. So for us, just go out and play good football. You know, we don't make it bigger than what it is. It's our next game. We understand the success that they've had, and they've earned it. Like, they've been really good. No matter if it's defense, offense, special teams, whatever it takes to win football games, they find a way to win in the fourth quarter. So I'm excited for this matchup, excited to see our guys go out and compete.
How do you view the last three games? Are you more that we got to put together our best football going into December, or do you look for opportunities when you've wrapped up the AFC South to rest?
Yeah, for me, it's anytime you strap it up, it's time to go compete and win. I don't know any other way. I don't see how anybody else could find any other way. Like, our guys put a lot of work into going out, putting their bodies on the line to go compete. So that's what it'll be about, one game at a time mentality. Still hasn't changed just because, you know, we won the AFC South. Our approach is still the same. Go out and play good football, get better in all three phases.
You mentioned that with three games in 11 days, the Miami game is more normal than the Saturday game and the Christmas game is where things kind of get more condensed. How are you guys approaching it from a readiness standpoint to get ready physically, mentally, and logistically for basically two games in like approximately 6 days?
Yeah, the main thing is how we prepare for this game. And I always say all the teams have the same amount of time that we have. So, of course, you know, we're a day sooner removed from the game. So the main focus is about our guys recovering, taking care of their bodies, and just mentally being locked in into the game plan and what we're doing. And we'll continue to, you know, enhance the game plan as we get further in the week. But everything about what we do and the amount of days we had to prepare is the same as Kansas City. So we'll do everything we can to make sure our guys are ready to roll.
Were you? I know you probably saw Christian rehabbing and getting ready to stay ready, all that nonsense. But like when game time came, were you surprised at like how in shape and ready he was to play as many snaps as he did?
He didn't surprise me. I saw the work that he was doing on the side, and he looked ready a while back. So it just goes to the work that he put in. It was real. Like, he was working towards something. It was a real goal of getting back, not only just getting back to be back, but to get back and be impactful. And that's how he attacked the work. While nobody else was watching, he attacked it the right way. So when his time came, like, he didn't miss a beat.
Is 100% or not, what are some of the challenges of defending him, all the things he does from the pocket, outside, and with his arm?
Yeah, Mahomes, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, done it for a long time, done it at a really high level, and where he gains most of his success is just the keeping plays alive, like off schedule, keeping plays alive. Their receivers and tight ends, they know how to uncover, they know how to find the open space and zone coverage, sit routes down. So just, it's a true challenge. It's going to take everyone, especially our D-line, the way they work. They have to work together. You try to keep them contained, but that's easier said than done. Yeah, he still finds a way to escape, finds a way to make plays. It's going to take, a really tremendous effort from everybody, just being where we're supposed to be, playing disciplined football for four quarters.
Finding different ways to win. You mentioned Kansas City, finding different ways to win no matter what. Is that something that comes with experience, or is there something that you can proactively teach your guys to put them in position to where that happens?
Yeah, it all comes down to, at the end of the day, it's, guys understand situational football, right? Play smart. Have great awareness in those situations. Where KC has won a lot is, they take advantage of miscues on the other side of the ball, whether it's offense, defense, or even special teams. Like, you just have to be on the details longer. And that's where they've got a lot of people. They outlast people mentally, right? And not so much physically, but it's mentally. They're mentally stronger than the teams that they're going against, and they find a way in the fourth quarter to win games. Quarterback makes a play, Kelsey makes a play, somebody's going to make a play, and it's not something you teach. Just, I think it's just guys just understanding what's in front of them, and they know how to make the plays.
You think that's kind of like a mistake thing where people see Kansas City and how they play, where maybe it causes you to do something that's uncharacteristic because you're a little bit intimidated by a team on that level, and is that something that you can stress to the team?
And I'm not sure. For me, I just look at it all the same. Like, man, you go and compete. It's an opportunity to compete against one of the best that's done it. So you don't do anything different. You don't try to rise up to a level. Like, you just go out and play your game. And you play your game the right way. Like, they've been in a lot of tight games. They won a lot of games, most games in NFL history, right? Won one score game. So you don't have to do anything different. You just got to go out and execute better than Kansas City.
The Chiefs have had a lot of success everywhere, but particularly at home. What have you shared with maybe some of your younger guys who have never played at Arrowhead about maybe what to expect in that type of environment?
Nothing. Go play football. Wherever they line it up, we want to go play. The environment doesn't change who we are. Like, you go out and play football the right way. The ball is snapped, it doesn't matter. Like, you just got to go execute. Go ahead.
With Titus moving from right tackle to left guard, can you kind of take us inside some of the challenges for him? I know he's played left guard a little bit before for the team, but what does he have to kind of adjust and change from
what he did at tackle to now guard?
Yeah, for Titus moving inside, you know, first off, is, you know, thankful to him for making that move and transition. And as you mentioned, he's been in there before, so it's not totally new to him. Just things happen a lot quicker on the inside than the outside, right? You know, Titus has that power and size to handle the big rushers on the inside. So he's, you know, I think he's a really good fit for being in there. It's just understanding how quickly those games and things happen where you have a little more space on the outside. You got more space, a little bit more time in the inside. Just have to have quicker reaction time.
Would you consider going to KC in December like the closest thing you can get to a playoff atmosphere campaign?
For me, playoffs is playoffs, so we're not there yet. But it'll be a good atmosphere. They have a good crowd. It's a good place to play. They support their team really well, so it'll be a fun environment.
You're talking about inside with Titus. How aware do you have to be on every snap where Chris Jones is and the damage that he can do?
Yeah, Chris Jones. Make sure you know where 95 is at all times, man. Chris is a outstanding player. Size, strength, like pass rush ability. Not only inside, he lines up outside, can get it on the edge as well. Does a great job of batting passes down. Just totally impacts the game for them. And you see why he's been, you know, a dominant defensive tackle in this league. Because just, man, his pure will, strength, everything about him, like he's a great player. So for us, you have to have awareness where 95 is. No one can fall asleep on 95. You got to make sure you're aware. And you got to go challenge him. You got to compete. Like, and that's what this game is about, and that's what I'm most excited about. They have really good players. We got good players. Let's put the ball down, compete, see what happens.
We'll close with Will D. Gaines.
Ron Rivera, when he was in Carolina, would always refer to, like, these games when you play a team that's accomplished a lot as a measuring stick game. Is that something you subscribe to or talk about, or is it just nah?
I know. I know, man. I know you guys. Nah, because for me, I don't, like, our guys don't need to feel like this is, you know, we need to step up to Kansas City. They're a great team. Everybody understands that in the NFL and the world. Everybody understands KC has been dominant in the league for the past, I don't know, however many years. They've been dominant. So I don't need to make it more of a awareness factor for our guys. Everybody knows KC, they've been great for a long time.
Just going back to my earlier question, does that kind of like alter how you guys approach practice from the physicality standpoint? Do you just kind of focus more on more mental reps? Like, what's kind of like that approach in terms of how you guys approach practice?
Man, we're full pads. We're going. We're ready. Rocking and rolling. Short week. We put the pads on and try to see how physical we can practice. No, we take care of our guys. Make sure their bodies are recovered. Just because you're so soon removed from a game, and it takes a while to recover, especially on a short week. So it is a heightened sense of focus on rest and recovery as best as we can, while also understanding the game plan and being able to get those mental reps in.
Last one, sorry.
Coach, last year was kind of a given when you all went into the draft. You know, you selected CJ, then you all made the necessary adjustments to trade up to get Will. What went into being able to get those two players like Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter this year? What did you all see? How did you know that they would fit so well in your scheme?
Starting with Kamari, didn't know he would be there at that time, but what allowed me to know Kamari would fit, just first off watching his tape, while seeing how physical of a player he was, talking to his teammates and how every teammate raved about Kamari and how locked in he was, practice, games, walkthroughs. He's one of the most locked in, intense players. And, you know, that just said to me, this is a swarm mentality. And talking to Kamari, he's just, you know, it was an easy fit. Kalen, you know, just watching him play and watching his skill set, it just jumped off the tape, like how he would fit into our scheme, like, and how he could change things for us, as when you got a post safety who can take the football away when he has elite range. So it just jumped off the tape as, you know, kind of one of those luxury type picks. Like, if we can get Kalen, you know, for me and my vision of how I saw him and what he can do to our defense, it was just, you know, again, you don't know how the draft is going to fall. You have guys you want, but to get both of those young guys and to see them have impact so soon, you know, it's, you didn't know what would happen, but happy to have both of them, just seeing the success they had in college and what they were able to do, and it's translating exactly who they were at Georgia, USC. You're seeing the same type of players here today for us. All right, thank you guys.
All right, that's the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. A lot there, covering there, but at the end there, he talked about it, had his eye on those two young guys, and those two young guys have been great fits, and I like the way he used that, how he visioned his vision, how he saw those players adding to his team, especially Kalen Bullock, and I would assume it's gone as well as he could have envisioned it to go with those two dudes.
Yeah, they no doubt about that. I mean, look, I think when you've got an identity and you know what you want to do and what you want at each position or what you dream of at each position as a coach, and you have that identity and you just, it's who you are to the core, I think it's easy to identify, all right, that dude's got what I want, right? Whether you're talking about Kamari Lassiter and the workhorse, the physicality, the accountability, and he's going to be where he, you know, where he's supposed to be, when he's, you know, that mentality is obviously a great fit here. And then you get into a guy that that has jump off the screen type of you know,
talent,
yeah. Tangibles, talent, right? I mean, it's and you know you're going to be a pressure defense. You need a safety, you know, that can shrink windows. You need a safety that plays fast, that has instincts around the football. You need, you know, so I just think it's so much easy. It's never easy, but it's so much, it's so much, I think, less difficult. You're not just shooting fish in a barrel. You know what I mean? You're not, I don't know, does that make sense? You're not like you're not, it's not random. You got a pretty good idea of the dude that you, the dudes you're looking for and how they can help you and where they fit. And I think D'Amico and Nick have that down as well as anybody in the league. I tell you what I loved earlier on in that audio right there from D'Amico, Ron, was, you and I have talked about this before over the years. I absolutely hate when coaches, quarterbacks, opponents, in any way, shape, or form, show that before the game is ever kicked, before the ball's ever kicked with Kansas City or with Baltimore, or, you know, there's some of the better teams over the years, all of a sudden, we're going to be more aggressive. We're going to go for it on fourth down. We've never done this all year long because of who's across the field from us. It's 0-0, or it's 7-7, or it's 10-3, but we're going to get real aggressive. We're going to do this because the other team, like, I love the fact that D'Amico Ryan laughs at, no, man, it don't matter who's across the ball. We're going to go out there and we're going to play our best football. I'm not going to stress to my guys that we got to do things differently, or we got to be better, or we got to play faster, or we got to do this. We're not going to do that just because of who we're playing. I love that approach by D'Amico Ryans.
I thought you were going to say you excited when he said, yeah, we put on the pads, baby, went out there and got physical and hit.
No, that would be December 17.
Well, Wesley said I got excited.
Yeah, that right there would be that would, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I wouldn't be totally against it, especially if it was the offensive line working the run game. But but yeah, no, I was good there.
No chance. But no, that was D'Amico Ryans. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, you will be able to hear from the quarterback C.J. Stroud. This is a big matchup, right? This is. I would assume this is one that C.J. probably circled before the season started. Competitive kid like that, probably circled. I got to go to Arrowhead, and I'm facing potentially Patrick Mahomes. A little bit more on that a little bit later on as well. But we'll hear from him coming up in a bit. Remember, in the 5 o'clock hour, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday, your chance to win a pair of front row seat tickets for that Christmas Day game against the Baltimore Ravens. Be listening in the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win right here on The Drive. Coming up, I feel like we may have lost, right before our very eyes, we may have just seen the last of a player in last night's Monday Night Football game. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in. I feel like we saw a Walking Dead member of the NFL last night. I want to get to that real quick. I did want to let you all know I'm not going to be here on Thursday.
To hell, where are you going? You vacationing with Tyler or what?
I wish. I like being at Buffalo Wild Wings on a good Thursday. I got to go to damn jury duty. I thought I wasn't going to have to go. I thought
jury duty. Is it a murder? Is it a murder trial?
I don't think so. I'll find out when I get there.
Oh, they don't tell you that before?
No. This is the sixth time I've had jury duty in my life.
That's wild. I've never even gotten a request like
You've
a summons.
You've never been summoned?
I've never been summoned.
Have you?
I think I got a letter in the mail one time a while back, but I didn't.
Oh, you went past? You didn't even, did you fill out?
They didn't circle back.
That's not supposed to be legal. I think that's supposed to be. I am, this is six for me. And
that's
nuts. And I have served on a trial. But I've had, this is my fourth one since I've been in the radio industry. And I'll, as I told Parker, I'll get out of this. I'll go in and I make it plainly obvious. Now I have learned not to be too obvious that I don't want to be there, because I feel like they can snuff that out.
They want to spite you.
Oh yeah. I just come right out and tell them straight up. Yes. And I don't lie. Yes. Your occupation? I'm a radio host.
See ya.
For news and sports. And I do. I put news first because we do sometimes say news.
Break stuff. News.
Yeah, we break news. For news and sports. And usually when they say, because they always do ask follow-up questions. You say, like, you're entertainment or a journalist? I said sometimes, you know, there's some journalist stuff that I do.
I journal
and
every night.
Hey, I am 3 for 3 for just waiting for my number not to get
sources
called.
Sources say.
Not to get called. And they've sent me on my way the last three times. God, dog. Is that weird? Six times.
It's like it to me.
Well, I think if
I was 24, six times.
If I were ever on trial, I think I'd probably like you. You're a little more lenient than most. I think I'd like you to be on my.
You think the defense likes me?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would.
The first time I went, I kind of was all right not being at work for about 4 or 5 days. Not anymore. Like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You sit in there, you have to eat them donuts.
No, it's, yeah, I bet you hate that.
That's one of my favorite cheat foods.
That was a tough one.
Cheat food. Cheat food.
Junk food, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, I'm saying.
Donuts can be a cheat food.
I don't have a bad diet. Well,
I know that donuts can be a cheat food. I just don't think Tyler's in a position to cheat on his diet. I mean, he's in there.
I love donuts.
Now. One, he don't eat much. Two, he's in there banging monsters and 5-hour energies and back to back. I mean, it's.
Text line, Ron, just tell him you're racist. It works every time. I don't think you should do that either, unless you are.
That does truthful. Seem to be yeah, like man. The stereotypical go-to.
No.
I mean, I tell
the truth. I just word it
differently. I don't think there's any reason for any. I mean, if we can use the low-hanging fruit of radio and news, and I don't think we need to necessarily go the racist route.
Yeah. Act like you have Tourette's.
Like I am nervous that they're going to say, "Oh, that's okay. We're fine with that." I'm like,
we want some diverse opinions.
I can bring diverse, but I will go a step further and say. I do like to talk about what's going on in my life.
That's not a lie.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
It's not a lie.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Now, you know, they ain't gonna get me.
Got you. We'll see if it sticks.
And you know what? I'm wearing a jumpsuit too.
Oh, you gonna wear it?
Yeah, I'm gonna wear it.
LL Cool J.
I'm gonna wear a zip up jumpsuit.
Walk in there like Tony Soprano.
That's why I'm gonna walk in there. Like I'm giving them all.
Bada bang.
Hey, jumpsuit with blonde tips.
Hey, I'll never,
get a gold chain.
I'll never forget that first text that came through when Ron had that tracksuit on. They said,
he was pumped.
I know what they said. Looks like Missy Elliott. You said, man, that's your go-to. Anybody out there, you go to Missy Elliott.
It's your primitive.
I mean, we could have went to LL Cool J.
So many places.
We could have went with a bunch of them.
man. People like to think evil. Yeah, this, man. This but wish me luck. Wish me luck. As I will do everything I can to get out of it. God, I hope we have a listener in there. You know, I'm gonna do my line. Guilty as charged. Yeah, you're right. It's me.
Oh, guilty. You listen? Yeah, man.
Guilty as charged. You know it. You better not have me on it. You know how I lean. But all right. Yeah, it's me. Hey, real quick, Clint, you're a quarterback. You've been there. You've been there at the beginning, and you've been there at the end. Clint, it feels like we are watching the end of Kirk Cousins right in front of our eyes.
I didn't watch any of it last night. I watched the other game. I was watching that Minnesota game.
Oh, my God.
It's something about Atlanta, Las Vegas just didn't turn me on much.
No, I didn't, but it was – I flipped over. I looked at a few of them, and all I could hear was just Dan Orlovsky. Man, they're just missing so much, man. Dan said multiple times, yeah, he's just missed just clean pocket throws.
Oh, my God.
You remember that time when we watched Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning was in Denver, and they're putting up like 40 points a game, and they got the number one offense, and Peyton is the MVP candidate and all that. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, my God, Brock Osweiler gives them a better chance to win because Peyton Manning has turned into Chad Pennington. And Peyton Manning is throwing fly balls that are out routes. And, Peyton Manning, I've never seen Father Time grab somebody so quickly than it grabbed Peyton Manning. I mean, and they won a Super Bowl, but Lord knows it wasn't because of him. I mean, it just grabbed him and yanked him. That's what we're seeing with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, in his last five games, one touchdown, nine interceptions.
Oh, well, that hurts. I did not know it was that bad.
One touchdown, nine interceptions in his last five games. Yesterday, he was 11 for 17 for 112 against a Raiders team that didn't have Max Crosby and is shutting it down.
Flat, shutting it down. God.
Yeah, man. I mean, and now the Falcons, they've wasted all that money they spent on him. But luckily for them, they did draft Michael Penix Jr. But, I mean, Clint, it is. And I like Kirk, man. And Kirk just last year with the Vikings before he hurt himself, like he looked like a top 12 quarterback, maybe even better. And now my man, I mean, he can't. I mean, he can't hit the backside of a barn. I mean, he can. It's just he might have to punt it. It's just – it's a tough one to watch, man. And I like Curry. Tough one to watch. But it looks like we've lost Kirk Cousins. I appreciate that music right there because it's over, Kirk. I mean, it is. I don't know. They may have to go to Michael sooner than they want to. All right, coming up, Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes. There is an update on Patrick Mahomes and his ankle. We'll let you hear from him himself and give you that latest update to let you know where we are in terms of him being able to play in the game against the Texans on Saturday. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You heard from D'Amico Ryans earlier in the 3 o'clock hour. You will hear from C.J. Stroud coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, remember, 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of front row seat tickets to check out the final home game of the Christmas Day game against the Baltimore Ravens. Beyonce also performing at halftime. You'll have a chance to win two front row seat tickets for that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. As I said, you'll hear from C.J. Stroud and the quarterback that he will be matched up against, and who the Texans defense potentially will have to stop will be Patrick Mahomes. Now, we know that's the big story in the NFL right now, and then in this game is will Patrick Mahomes play after what was diagnosed as a high ankle sprain against Cleveland. He got hurt in the fourth quarter, did not return, noticeably limping afterwards. X-rays were taken afterwards. They said it was negative. He did not break it. Here is Mahomes at the podium today, giving an update on his ankle.
I mean, I think it's done good with the treatment and the work that we've gotten in. I mean, obviously it's a short amount of time, but I thought we had a good day yesterday, and we had good work after the game as well. So I'll get to work in practice and try to push it to see where I can get to. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to put our team in a bad position. So if I feel like I can play and go out there and win a football game, I'll play. And if I don't feel like that's the best case scenario, I'll let guys like Carson play. I mean, he's a guy that's won in this league as well. So it's just about pushing it this week, seeing where I'm at, and making the best decision. Then Jacksonville was worse. I would say. I mean, that one was pretty significant. I mean, this one didn't feel good by any means. But the Jacksonville one, just the way I got caught, I didn't really get this last one, I kind of got my feet out at the very end, whereas that Jacksonville one I didn't really get to. Obviously it's responded better, quicker. I think that'd be the best thing to say, but I want to be in a better spot than I was in that next game going up against the Bengals. So I'll try to see if I can get there.
Hey, hello, Kermit the Frog here.
That was Patrick Mahomes. He's like the Texas Heat. I never, and maybe some of you, I will never get used to opening up the door and walking out to the Texas Heat or sitting on it.
Been here my whole life.
I've never gotten used to just when I hear that voice that's actually a person's voice. I have called it from the beginning, and every time I've never gotten used to that, man.
Love ketchup.
That's what he's carrying around. That's what the good Lord gave him. Now, certainly he blessed him with some other talent.
Yeah,
trade off. But damn, that is just every time you hear that, it's just like God, dog, man. That's how that man talks.
I really hope I can play on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, if he couldn't sling the football the way he slings it, and ultimately make the money he makes, that would be a tough one to get over. A lot of times, I would think in the streets.
A bit. We used to do. We'd have to carry Pat. Every week, we'd have to have his press conference every week like we do Stroud. We did a deal, started make Mahomes sound sexy again. So we would have listeners vote on, like, you know, R&B songs or ballads or whatever sexy songs. And whichever one would win, we'd play it underneath Pat to try to see if his voice sounds better. Up against
with some R&B in the background,
or I mean, it wasn't just R&B. Any ballads? I think Poison slid in there with a couple of ballads. Yeah, you know that. A little Jodeci, a little bit of. One time we kind of got in trouble when we played that T-shirt panties on right underneath. But that was because I mean his voice just is wild. All right, that was before they practiced. Then he went on the practice field. There's video of it, Clint. He is. Had his both ankles taped up, but he was in pads and he was going through stretches. They had a light practice. Clint, you've been around football, understand the league. It is Tuesday. This is the first day that they could practice. For you, what does that mean in your mind that the first day that he could practice, he is in pads, stretching on the field, legs, or you know, ankles taped up. He is out there on the practice.
My man's playing.
Yeah.
I think Mahomes.
Like they wouldn't even take a chance with it, would they?
Yeah, well, no. Look, I don't think it's up to them. I think Mahomes. Look, I give Mahomes a hard time with some of the limping around and acting like you hurt here and there and all that. And I do. I think there's some diva, some whatever you want to call it, whatever tendencies there. But at the end of the day, he's exactly what you want in a teammate. He is going to do everything that he can. If it's during the game, he's going to get his ass back out there. If it's at practice like this, he's not going to sit around and not practice for 2-3 days and then go, oh, yeah, I can play. He's going to get out there. He's going to push it. He's going to be with his fellas. He's going to literally push it every single day to see exactly, you know, to what level the coaches can ask him because he's going to play. Let's be completely clear.
So this is you'd be surprised now.
I'd be shocked. He just told you. This was not as near as bad as Jacksonville. I got my foot out a little bit. He's gonna play. He's gonna practice. And when they get done, the coaches. This is the key. This is why it's so beautiful. The coaches are gonna know exactly what they can ask him to do and not ask him to do. They're going to know.
You think he is legit? There's a legit injury.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think there's a legit injury there. I think there's just, you know, I think there's a tendency when Pat, like, I don't think Pat always gets up and is like, don't limp, don't cry, don't limp, get to the side and just move. I think there's a lot of times he gets up and he plays into it a little bit. But when it comes down to it of getting back on the field, when it comes down to it of practicing and doing what you need to do to put your team in the best position to win a game from a preparation standpoint, I think Pat Mahomes is the ideal dude. I mean, it'd be real easy for Pat Mahomes to be in that training room right now and not be out there with his team. Be in that training room, jacking around and take a couple of days off. But instead, he tapes that thing up, goes out there, probably hurts like hell, and he's going to push it and see how the ankle reacts in terms of swelling or not. And I respect the hell out of it. I commend the hell out of Pat.
I do think it's a sign, clearly, that it's a sign of, hey, man, it's kind of up to your pain threshold right now. You know what I mean? Because if there was any, like, if there was any situation where, hey, man, you know, this thing didn't blown up to a balloon or something like that, they wouldn't have him. They wouldn't have him out there. Not to even say he wouldn't play, but they wouldn't have him on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Out there the first day they have to practice. It's a, like, I would say it's a sign that he's going to go.
I agree. But Ron, I think my point is I think Pat, like, I think in the days, Seth Payne had a rant a couple weeks ago about this, and I think this is spot on true. And for a lot of old head players, including myself, it does get a little frustrating. I think there's so much monitoring of these players. Like, there's so much data out there that they tell you when you're tired. They tell you when you need rest, right? I think Pat is a guy that's going to tell the trainer, tape the damn ankle up. I'm going out there. I'm going to practice, and I'll come back in here, and we'll reassess this thing when I get done and practicing. When reality is boy, high ankle sprain. This is the right way to handle it. 24 to 48 hours out is to stay off of it and do this and do that and which doesn't include practice. I think Pat's the kind of guy that's going to go, no, I'm going to practice, and then we can start to crank this back up the minute I get off the practice field. But me missing practice ain't going to happen. I think Pat's one of them type of competitors.
Yeah, and I will say this, Clint. I think if you are a Texans fan and you are and you're D'Amico Ryans and you're in that locker room, I think this is what you hope and want. I think you want to play Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
I think right, like I can understand what some say. No, it's about seeing, like, you're in now. Like, right, it's you're in the playoffs. The number one objective is there. Yes, you could catch Pittsburgh, and we talked about that a bit yesterday. But I think for the Texans right now, as I said, it's a hope game with the Dolphins. I think you got hope. I said that last week. Now you win one of the next two, it's a belief. Now, if you would have beat the Chiefs with Carson Wentz, I mean, that's clearly a whole different ball game. But you come in here and you play the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes in there, and you really challenge yourself. And if you could come out and really, really compete and even potentially beat them with Patrick Mahomes, that kind of changes the game to me. So yeah, you're in the playoffs now. Now it's about, all right, can we test ourselves to see actually how far we can go, who we can compete with? And if you can go into Arrowhead with Patrick Mahomes on the field and can compete there and win a game there, that changes the game for the Texans. I don't think it does anything if they beat Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the seeding obviously could potentially mean something there. But as we're talking about finding out more about the Texans, I don't know that you feel real good about beating a team with their backup quarterback. I mean, I think you probably feel like you did what you should do is beat a team with the backup quarterback. So I agree. I mean, ultimately, deep down, you want to catch Kansas City with Pat Mahomes. And you want to see where you stack up. I know D'Amico Ryan said that there's, absolutely, you know, he don't believe in measuring stick games, but you know, I don't want my coach talking about measuring stick games leading up to it. Now, in hindsight, if we sit down and talk to D'Amico Ryan's in the offseason, and he says, yeah, man, as soon as we beat Kansas City, I knew, hey, man, we can beat anybody in this league. We got a real chance. We're in a really good spot. We're playing our best ball, and we're as advertised. Or Kansas City whooped our ass, and, hey, man, we realized real quick that we needed to make some moves and get better across the board. So I think the measuring stick game is something to do in past tense. And in hindsight, I don't think it's something I want my coach doing leading into the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So it looks like we'll see, barring any setbacks, but it looks like, at least trending-wise, it looks like Patrick Mahomes is trending towards playing in the game. He is already on the practice field.
I'm feeling a lot better.
That's right. They had a light practice, but already on the practice field in pads. Out there as well. By the way, Hollywood Brown also in practice. He has not played yet for the Chiefs this year. Free agent that they got. He is on the field as well. So should be, as you said, I like that, good measuring stick game potentially for the Texans if, you know, the real Chiefs are there. All right, what you got coming up in the four?
I got a little tape drop Tuesday, baby. It's Tuesday and that tape's out there, man. I got a couple of things that we got to discuss. That defense was as good as we have discussed. There's a couple of plays, the strip sack fumble. There's somebody that needs to get their flowers. And the interception, we know with Stingley, he was manned up a couple of times and made really good plays. But the Kalen Bullock interception, I think, really highlights how good D'Amico Ryans really was. And there's somebody on this offense that, again, I think they need some flowers, and you might want to open your eyes to this guy right here. He's got a real, real chance. We'll cuss and discuss a little tape drop Tuesday next.